There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it whole.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again, and welcome to Step Into the Light. My guest today, Penny Cook, is a multi-award-winning writer, certified biblical life coach, Bible teacher, and speaker. Penny's book, Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World, released by November 2019, won first place in the 2020 Selah Awards Bible Study category. She is a contributor to Worthy Inspired's Let the Earth Rejoice devotional and Lighthouse Bible Study's Heart Renovation Bible Study. She has written articles for CBN.com, ThoughtsAboutGod.com, ChristianDevotions.us, and others. Penny also enjoys encouraging her blog readers at PennyCookAuthor.com. Her passion is for people to be in the Word and prayer and to be empowered by His Spirit for this battle we call life. Good morning, Penny. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Thank you so much, Patty. I'm glad to be here.
Penny, it's a delight to have you. I was so thrilled when I received your book on Kindle and I started reading it, and I thought, wow, this is just an amazing way to totally enrich our prayer life. So, but before we get into that, first I want to ask you, you are a certified biblical life coach, a Bible teacher, and a writer. So what childhood experiences influence your pursuit of these endeavors?
Well, I developed a love of God's Word early. I was given a Bible probably around the third grade, and I grew up reading it. I used to see my mom reading her Bible, and I think that just influenced me to read mine. And I would read Psalms a lot, other things too, but I think I just got really stuck on Psalms when I was a kid. And, you know, Psalms are prayers in song. And I think it's just taught me to pray. I just always loved God's Word, and it gave me a love for teaching His Word. And I served in women's ministry. And I really got to be a life coach to help me in women's ministry. And as far as writing, I always desired to write. I actually never thought I could. I never thought that I could get published. But God, He started opening doors, and it just was a God thing.
Well, wonderful, Penny. And I agree with you about the Psalms. I find the Psalms to be a very soothing, can you say, book? Mm. Because they are prayers, and I can still recall, I can't recall the psalm itself now, but when I was a kid, I memorized Psalm 19, and I still remember those first couple of lines, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaimeth His handiwork. And then I think that's the psalm that ends with, read my heart kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? What is it?
Yep.
Anyway, I can recall the first part and the last part. And one time there was a discussion about Psalm 19 somewhere that my sister and I were both involved in. And I said, yes, I remember that psalm because I memorized it when I was a kid. That was one of the things that I remember about Sunday school, was that I had memorized Psalm 19.
Well, I did too. I memorized Psalm 121. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I just remember that one, and so many psalms just gave me comfort.
Yes, and Psalm 121, I'm sure you're familiar with the Sound of Music, the musical,
yes.
Way back. my dad loved that musical, but it used to drive him crazy because when they recited that line of scripture, they never put in that last line, "My help cometh from the Lord." He just looks out the window and says, "Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the mountains," or whatever. He says, "No,
yeah,
it doesn't. It comes from the Lord."
Right.
We always kind of joked about that they messed up that line in that movie.
Yeah.
Penny, I'm pretty sure I know what a Bible teacher is, but define for us the role of a biblical life coach.
Sure. Well, a life coach, of course, helps us get unstuck or over hurdles in our lives that may be keeping us from going forward in any area of life. And a biblical life coach just means that I coach from a biblical standpoint. You know right up front that my foundation is the Bible, and anywhere I lead you is going to be based in Scripture.
I so love that because I have heard of so many people that are, I don't want to say led astray, but they are not led in the right direction biblically by counseling experiences. So it's wonderful to know that there is actually someone out there that has that title and that would point a person to, yes, you're going to get biblical foundation here in this counseling experience. So I think that is really, really great. And I listen to a Christian radio station out of Colorado Springs out here, and they emphasize that a lot, that you want a counselor who is going to use biblical principles in their sessions. So that's really, how long have you been doing that, Penny?
About 8 or 9 years now.
Okay.
And I originally did it because I thought it would just help me in women's ministry, because I was leading women's ministry at our church. And it has been very helpful in a lot of ways.
Well, you talk a little bit about what led you to interest in writing, and I may have it mixed up. I guess I thought you had been a biblical coach for quite a while, and then you started writing. But maybe it's the reverse. Maybe you've been writing for quite a long time.
I might have done the coaching a little bit before the writing started.
Okay, so you did start writing then, kind of, quote-unquote, later on in life. You're probably way younger than I am, but...
Yes, I'll tell you, I always had a desire to write. I wrote things no one ever saw, and I never, as I said before, I never thought that I could get published. What did I know? Who did I know, right? But then a lady at my church was, she was an author, actually, and she was going to start a writing class, which she did from time to time at various churches. And so I took her writing class, and then I taught a class at church on prayer, which is where this book came from. But she was in the class, and she asked me to write it as articles in this magazine that she was starting online. And so I did that, and then I was asked to go to a writer's conference by someone, and that's when I mean, doors just kept opening to writing, which God gave me that desire in my heart, and he made it happen. It really was a God thing.
Yes, and writer's conferences are amazing because you do touch base with so many people that are at your level in the writing world, and you make contact with people who are so willing to mentor you, and that's where you can actually talk with editors and agents, and it's a wonderful thing. Somebody says, "I'm interested in your work," and it's like, oh my goodness.
And you learn so much about writing and the whole publishing industry. So valuable.
Absolutely. Penny, there's so many subjects in the Christian faith that we can write about. Your book is titled Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World. Tell us why you chose to focus on prayer specifically.
Well, as I said, I grew up reading the Psalms. I think they taught me to pray and taught me that I could be real and vulnerable with God and just pour out my heart. So prayer was my go-to when I had marriage problems, whether it be jobs or ministry or family situations, I would pray. My son was addicted to drugs for 13 years. Prayer was paramount in that time. And I saw God do amazing things. And also through women's ministry and life coaching, I saw a lot of people that were struggling with prayer, whether it be finding time for prayer or Bible reading. I saw a lack of fervent prayer. And all these gave me a passion to teach about prayer.
Oh, it's wonderful, because I can tell from your book that you're an excellent teacher on the subject.
Oh, thank you.
Once again, speaking about your book, tell me from your perspective, how is yours different, and what needs do you hope to fulfill in your readers? Because there's dozens of books out there on the
yes,
subject.
There are dozens. And it's funny, because when I was starting to, when my pastor had asked me to teach a class on his lineup of Wednesday night classes, and I knew right away I wanted to teach about prayer. And I started looking for books, which there are so many wonderful books on prayer out there, but I just wasn't finding what I was looking for. And meantime, the Lord was just downloading this acrostic to me, and I kind of argued with him for a while. Come on, God, there's such better things out there. But I started writing it down, and it did become the class. What I was looking for was something very practical. And also, as a life coach, I wanted it to be motivational. So my book is kind of coaches you through the parts of prayer that Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer, because I don't necessarily believe that it was meant to be a rote prayer, although it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand what he was teaching. For instance, why did he tell us to pray to be delivered from evil? That would just be one example. I think there's so many parts of it we really don't think about when we're just reciting it. I want people to understand prayer better, because I think a lot of the lack of prayer is just a lack of understanding. And be motivated to realize the importance of prayer and finding time for prayer, understanding the power of prayer, the necessity, the relationship of prayer. Just, you know, the bottom line is that people would pray more, that they would be motivated to pray more, because our world needs prayer. It needs change. So that just gives me an urgency. Actually, when I first started writing it, I felt like the Lord was just impressing on me that the church was sleeping. You know, we've been lulled to sleep by a lot of things in our society, and we're very busy, and we're busy with worldly things, and we pray, you know, popcorn prayers, but there's not that, there hasn't been. I think that the church is waking up and changing, but there hasn't been a lot of fervent prayer. And so we really need that fervent prayer for our families, our country, and our world.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on that, Penny. There's absolutely no doubt out there that we need a lot more prayer than what I fear that there is. I would like to, at this point, kind of put in my thoughts about your book, because I was able to read it and take a look at it. I like the format of it, because you have 6 weeks. It's basically a 6-week study. And then within those 6 weeks, there's 5 days. So you have 5 lessons for 5 days. And that fifth lesson pretty much is kind of a week in review. And the Bible study can be used, of course, individually or with a group. And you very much speak to that. So those were features that I really enjoyed about the book. And as I told you before we came on air, I looked through it. I read some of it, but then I kind of wanted to go back and do it like I'm supposed to, you know, don't read it in 2 days, read it in 6 weeks. But I wanted to get a feel for it. And we'll talk a little more in depth about the book later. But I do have a question for you, since you are very familiar with prayer and you have been teaching about prayer for a long time now. God already knows, someone who doesn't know the faith as well as some other people, might ask this question. God already knows our thoughts, our feelings, and even the direction our lives will take. Why then is prayer paramount to our relationship with Him?
Yeah, I think that the answer is in the question. It's relationship. Prayer is relationship more than our list of requests that we bring Him, which is fine. You know, He says to bring us our burdens. And, you know, Jesus said the Father knows your needs before you came. And then He said, pray then like this. And He gave the Lord's Prayer. And how did He start? He started, our Father. And that word Father is the word Abba, which is all about relationship. Before He says, holy is your name, He says, our Father, and uses the word Abba. And so relationship is so important to prayer. And yes, our requests bring about God's will, but without relationship, we won't know God's will. We won't know what to pray. We pray for daily bread, which is our needs, but the greatest need we have is the bread of life. And so number one, relationship. Number two is prayer brings God's will into existence. It releases God's power. It invites His involvement in our life. And for some reason, He involves us in that process. We need to ask Him before He's going to do things a lot of times. And, of course, James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. So we need to ask, and we need to keep asking.
It kind of reminds me of the child-parent relationship, Penny, when you have the, and I'm thinking child by a teen, okay? You have a teen who is wanting to borrow the family car on Friday night, and mom and dad are already pretty sure that he wants to borrow the family car on Friday night. But
yeah.
If the teen is smart, he's going to go to his parents and say, Mom and Dad, I really appreciate that they've let me borrow the car in the past, and I have a event I'd like to go to on Friday night, and could I borrow the car? And, you know, thank you, instead of just grabbing the keys, you know, off of the key hook and take it off.
Right, and think of the relationship and the exchange that takes place in that. You know, it's
exactly.
Not just robotic, okay, here's the keys. It's may I have, and yes, you may, you know. It's all about relationship.
Yes, yes, and you're right. I probably did answer the question in asking the question, but still, it's nice to have you expound on that and elaborate, so thank you for that, Penny. Because I think there are times when, and my sister and I have discussed this because she had an issue she was going through recently. I have an issue I've been going through. And she said, I'm just having a hard time understanding why I just can't pray now when I really need to pray. And we talked about how when you have that to do with the Lord, you don't have to put your thoughts into words. I don't believe it. But you can just sit down quietly in a quiet place with your cup of coffee,
yeah,
and just maybe bow your head and just let the Lord listen to your laments and your pain,
yes,
and all that is going on, and he does that for us. And there's other times when I'll sit down to pray and it seems like I name every single person in the whole world that I ever knew asking for blessings on them in every situation. So it just depends.
You know, He hears our heart, and that's what,
yes,
Jesus said. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him, but you know what? He wants us to ask because He wants that relationship.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, and prayer can be such a comforting thing because you can say anything to the Lord. And I'm going to take a real quick break here, and this is where I remind listeners that you're listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Penny Cook. Penny is a multi-award-winning writer, a certified biblical life coach, and a Bible teacher and speaker. We have been discussing her book, Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World. We have been talking about general aspects of prayer, and if you would like to listen to this show again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, we'd love to have you do that. You can go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled spelled PATTISHENE.com. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. You'll find a link to all the shows we have recorded to date. And under each show is a More Information tab, and that's where you will find the information I'm going to put up there about a little more about Penny and where to find her online. She does have a website, which is PennyCookAuthor.com, and her last name is spelled with an E on Cook. She also has some social media. So let's get back to Penny. Penny, here on Step Into the Light, our guests often share a difficult or a dark time that they've encountered and how they found their way back to light. Some of my guests talk about their experiences with trying to get published and the struggles of writing their book and things like that. Other people get much more deeply. Whatever is comfortable for you, would you share a time like that with us?
Sure. Well, you mentioned the book, and, you know, it took about 5 or 6 years to write this book because God brought me through so many dark times while I was writing it. I mean, there was my elderly parents who were going through different sicknesses, and they both died during the writing of this book. I had medical problems. My husband had a triple bypass. We had a hurricane that made floods in our home where we had to replace all our floors, and it just went on and on. It was just constant. So those were a lot of dark times where I really gleaned from God's strength, and He just was so faithful in providing everything that I needed, and especially the strength and getting through. And you know, my mom passed just a few weeks before my manuscript was due at the publisher, and I just kept thinking, well, God knew when He gave me this contract, He knew what was going to happen, all these different things. And so I'm just going to trust Him. You know, some people said, well, contact your publisher. They'll understand and extend the date. And I thought, no, God knew. And God was so faithful to give me the last few chapters of this book. It just was awesome the way God worked. Other dark times other than the book was my marriage at one point years ago. Was in trouble, and God spoke to me very clearly through prayer as to what I needed to do to save my marriage, and without a lot of details that we don't have time to go into, God was faithful and worked through that very dark time in our marriage, and we've now been married for well over 40 years.
Oh, what a blessing, Penny.
Yeah. And then when my son was addicted to drugs for 13 long, dark years, he was in and out of rehabs and jail and stole from us. There were times when we didn't know where he was. I'm sure there'll be listeners who know what I'm talking about and have gone through that. But if I could get into answered prayer a little bit at this point, because I don't want to talk about that without telling you the story.
Definitely. Go ahead, Penny.
During that time that my son was addicted, I, you know, was at the point where I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling. I'm sure that we've all felt that at times when you just keep praying, and nothing's happening, or you don't think anything is happening anyway. But I started praying scripture. Again, Psalms. I would read Psalms, and I would turn them into prayers for him. And during that time, a friend had told me that as she was praying for my son, she had a vision of angels fighting with swords. Now, you can imagine that gave me comfort at that time because I needed something to hold on to at that point. But I questioned God about it. Angels really fighting with swords? But he led me to Psalm 103, 20 and 21, which talks about the angels who obey his word and do his will. And, you know, Ephesians 6, 12 says we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the dark world. So, okay, so we're not battling against flesh and blood. Were angels really fighting with swords? Well, later on, I realized I was praying scripture. And what is scripture in Ephesians? The sword of the Spirit, one of the pieces of the armor. And so I just think we don't really understand what goes on in the spiritual realm when we pray. If there is battles going on in the heavenlies when we pray, can we afford not to pray? What if we don't pray? Does that allow the enemy to advance? Prayer is spiritual warfare. And so we have to fight. We can't just, let someone else do it for us or be negligent in it. It's that important that we pray and fight that spiritual battle. And as far as answered prayer, I will tell you that my son is a pastor now. So let that be encouragement to keep praying. Jesus said, always pray and don't lose heart in Luke 18:1. And so don't give up. You know, no matter how many years you have to pray the same thing, God is listening and he is working.
Penny, what a blessing. And thank you so much for sharing that story with us. I didn't even want to say anything during that time because what you were saying is so strong and so powerful that I wanted to be sure listeners got every word of it. And yes, I definitely believe in spiritual warfare. I would like to ask you, how old was your son when he came out of his addiction?
Probably upper 20s.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I think he was around 27, 28 or something.
Okay, so he became addicted when he was still a teen then.
And then, you know, went to jail and then went to rehab. It was a 10-month-long rehab. But it was there that he felt like the Lord was telling him to go to Bible college. And now he's a pastor.
Oh, how wonderful. Wow, that is an amazing story. And I want to thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners today.
Sure.
And you structure Pursuing Prayer around the acronym PRAYER. You mentioned that earlier. Would you give us a brief overview of what each of those letters stand for?
When the Lord gave this to me, he gave it to me as an acrostic. And each letter of the acrostic for prayer coincides with a different part of the Lord's Prayer.
Excuse me, I meant acrostic, not acronym. I meant acrostic.
No worries. So the P stands for proactively pursue prayer, because anything we do in our day, we need to be intentional about, right? So this is about being intentional and proactive about our prayer life. We can't let our busyness take over. We need to put prayer on the top of our to-do list. The R is remember his deeds. And this is the hallowed be thy name part of the Lord's Prayer, because all through the Old Testament, we see God saying, remember my deeds, don't forget my commandments. And so it's so important to remember who God is. It prepares our heart. It reminds us who he is and all he's done and able to do. The A is for acknowledge sin and ask forgiveness. This is the forgiveness our debts piece of the Lord's Prayer. Because in Psalm 66:18, David said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so I think this is a part of prayer we skip over a lot when we're just praying our quick on-the-go prayers. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're confessed up and also it deals, of course, with forgiving others as well as temptation and delivering us from evil and things like that. The Y is yield to his will. Obviously, thy will be done. And in this part, we talk about God's general will and how to know it and also his specific will. And of course, as a life coach, I enjoyed doing that part, just getting into how to know God's specific will for our own personal lives. The E is enjoy his daily bread. And this, of course, is asking God to fulfill our needs and trusting him for that. But also, Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, right? So it's about being satisfied in him and his goodness. And then the R is, after we've done all these, once we've laid our burdens at his feet, once we've confessed and We freed ourselves of sin and guilt and worshiped and reminded of ourselves of who he is and what he's able to do. Then we can rest in him, which is the final R. You know, we place our anxiety at his feet and we get his trust. We get his peace and we begin to trust in him in the waiting. And we do talk about waiting. I've had some experience with that. And listening, you know, that's another thing that when we're so busy, we don't take the time to listen.
I agree with that. Yeah,
I'd also like to mention that, yes, it is a Bible study, but it's certainly great for a personal devotional as well. And you had mentioned 5 days. And if I could just mention that it actually is 4 days. I do provide a short additional study for a fifth day if people wanted it. But my experience in our women's ministry and our ladies' Bible study is that everybody was having trouble getting to the fifth day of study. So I actually structured mine with 4 days. And then the fifth, of course, as you said, is a wrap-up or a review of the whole week.
Yes. Yes, I realized that. And I may not have made that clear when I was talking about the book, Penny, and thank you for clarifying that.
So it's just one of the differences.
Yes, absolutely. It is one of the differences. And boy, that 4 days is helpful for people. But I know I was in another Bible study, and my goodness, as much as you had to read in a week, it was tough.
Yeah.
So I like yours. And your title about being effective in a busy world. Yes, it is a busy world, and all of us are busy in it. So
yeah.
You did. You structured your Bible study, your book, to faith, to address that. I was going to say, I'm sitting here with your book in front of me. And I like some of the subtitles that you do use, like on day 3 of the first week, pursue prayer on purpose with purpose. So that means more than just, okay, at 10 o'clock every morning, I'm going to sit down and pray. It means, what are you going to pray for? What are you going to pray about? How are you going to acknowledge the Lord in your life and things like that? So I like that. Another one that I liked was accepting his amazing grace. Some people have a hard time doing that. And this would be a great opportunity for them to work through what is stopping them from that. And I, of course, the your will be done and your will be known. I love that because I think that's something that many of us struggle with, is how to really know that we have heard what we think we have heard.
Yes.
And I know I had an incident here, it's been several weeks back now, where I kind of, you know the fleece test?
Yeah.
If I'm supposed to do this, this will happen. And I shared that with a friend, and she said, yeah, but remember, who was it that put out the fleece? My mind is not working well today. Anyway, whoever the Bible character was that put out the fleece, my friend reminded me, remember, he did it twice. Oh, yeah, that's true. So, I think sometimes it's difficult, Penny, because we want the answer that we want. So we tend to look for the things that are going to support that answer. And you have to really, really sit down and study the word and, like you say, listen and line up what is happening with the word. I think that's the most important thing of it.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And it was Gideon, I believe, that
there
put out
go.
The fleece.
Yep. The guy.
Took me a minute to think of it, too.
Isn't that awful? My goodness, you were supposed to know the Bible, and I can't.
But when you put on the spot, that's when your mind goes blank.
Exactly. Oh, I know. Well, you did share that there was some answered prayer in your life with your son and everything, but just like I was talking about, have you ever had a specific incident where you said, okay, like I've heard the story of the people that are wanting to do something, and if they need the money, so they're going to sell their TV set, and if somebody calls them by 10 o'clock on Saturday night and gives them the price, have you ever had a situation like that happen?
I think I have, and I can't think of the specifics right now, but I know I have.
Yeah, I have too, and I can't think offhand what they are, but My prayers are kind of general. I have family members that I don't hear from that often, and I'll just kind of pray, oh, I'd sure like to hear from this person by next week, or just to let me know that they're okay, you know. And it usually comes about. Sometimes it doesn't, but yeah. Well, how do we encourage others to pray who believe God isn't listening? Because you hear that a lot. God doesn't care. Mm-hmm. God isn't listening to me anyway. And God doesn't always answer prayers on the spur of the moment. So how do we encourage those people?
I think of our life as sort of a puzzle. And, you know, if we pray something, we have to realize there's a lot of pieces that need to go into place before that specific thing might happen. And so I picture God rearranging the puzzle pieces and, you know, getting them to fit just right. And that's just a little visual. But beyond that, God's word says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so, I mean, first is to make sure you're connected to that power. And you're abiding in him, that you've put on his armor that he tells us in Ephesians 6. I truly believe all that. And well, and also, you know, we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 so often today. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And I believe whether it be heal your marriage or your family or your whatever it is, whether it's physical, the confession part, or not just the confession, but the repentance part is so important, right? I mentioned earlier Psalm 66:18, if I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so I think that repentance and that confession is really an important aspect to make sure that our slate is clean, right? 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So that and abiding in him, I think we will see answered prayer, but sometimes it takes a long time. Do we know why? Do we have all the answers this side of heaven? No. But I know God hears. I know he answers in his time, his timing, his thoughts are not ours. But I know that he answers. And in the meantime, when we are in prayer and in relationship with him, we get the extra benefits of prayer, which is the strength and the peace and the wisdom and the guidance and all that his spirit has to give us in the meantime to hold us and comfort us, as we mentioned earlier, while we're waiting.
Yes, and another thing that's hard for us to accept, I've heard this term before or this quote before, and I don't know who said it, but we are the finite trying to understand the infinite. And we are so constricted by time, for example. We want this to happen by the end of the day or by the end of next week. And when it doesn't happen for 2 years, we get frustrated and we don't understand and we don't take that time to realize that God is in control and that he knows just exactly what the right timing is for whatever. Mm.
He is much more concerned with our spiritual growth. You know, we could say, why isn't God stopping wars and all the things that are going on in our world today? But, you know, his word says that he's not slow in keeping his promise, but he doesn't want anyone to perish. So
right.
God, in his love and in his sovereignty, he waits for us. We think we're waiting for him. He's waiting for us to turn to him. So I think we need to keep that in mind, that all-knowing, all-powerful Lord of the universe is waiting until all those puzzle pieces are in place.
Yes. Well, I'm sure when you were going through those 13 years with your son, that probably about 3 or 4 years in, you were like,
yeah,
is there ever going to be an end to this? And look how much longer you dealt with
yeah.
what you did. And I'm sure just about the time, I don't know, but I would imagine that just about the time you thought things were looking up, things got crazy again. There was either a theft
or
your son was back in jail, or maybe only once, I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure that
those
setbacks are just heartbreaking, because that's when Satan can sneak in and say, see, God doesn't keep his promises. He's not going to do anything for your son. And that's where, if we don't have that armor on and have the backing of scripture in our heart and that relationship, like you spoke about, with the Lord through prayer, that we can cave so easily, because that's when, boy, he just creeps right in. He rushes right in there.
I could have thought that, you know, it was the end of everything when he got sent to jail, but it was the beginning of his healing. So we can't look at the bad circumstances and give up. That could be just the time. You know, I heard something years ago, and it was that Satan always strikes at the entrance to the miracle. And so, you know, just because things look worse, they could actually be the time when God is working the most.
I really like that, yes. And that's definitely the truth. Penny, you have a Pursuing Prayer Facebook group page. It's a private group, so I'm not sure if you would like to discuss that or not. But if you would, please let listeners know what that's about.
Yes, I would love to have them join. You do have to ask to join and answer the membership questions. But it is the Pursuing Prayer. It's just called Pursuing Prayer. It's a group page, a private group page. So if you just search on Facebook, you'll find it. And maybe we can give the link somewhere, but it's kind of long.
Yes, the link will be on that portion on my website that I explained. Yeah. And once you get to my website, it's really easy to navigate. I know it sounds a little complicated, but it's very easy to navigate to get there. Yeah. So, yes, I have that.
And then
in fact, I joined your group the other night, and thank you for welcoming me.
Yes. I also have a free download on my website if anyone would like to go there. It's a prayer devotion and coloring page. And the ideas of the coloring page is just something you can hang up, whether you color it or not. It's just, I have prayer reminders all over my house, and so I'm big on the prayer reminders.
That sounds great, Penny, and I'll definitely go over to your website and check that out. Like I say, I really enjoyed your book, and I'm sure I would enjoy probably anything that you write, actually.
Oh, thank you so much.
Speaking of that, do you have anything else in mind to write? Very few people like you write just one book. I'm sure you've got something else, another project in mind.
I'm actually writing the Bible study as a devotional, and I also have written a children's prayer book, which actually the poem itself comes out in Clubhouse Junior magazine. That's by Focus on the Family.
Yes.
So if you have little ones and you get that magazine and want to check it out, it's going to be in that in the March issue. So, yeah, I'm always working on that and blogs, and I actually have a radio show, too. It's a local radio show. But
oh, nice.
I keep busy. I keep very busy.
I'm always excited when I hear about other people that do podcasting or radio shows or whatever, because it's such fun. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Penny, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, just really want to encourage people to pray, not to get discouraged. God is listening. He is moving and working. And I really believe that happens because of prayer. Prayer releases God's power in our lives. So don't quit. Don't give up. No matter how dark things look in this world, that just tells us we need to pray more. So, please pray for our world and our country, our families. We so need it. Really be committed to prayer. And that's why I say prayer reminders, they're so important. I always welcome people to reach out to me on my website. You can click the contact button, and if you have prayer requests, if you just have questions about prayer, anything, I would love to hear your comments and questions and concerns. So feel free to do that.
Oh, wonderful, Penny. Thank you so much for offering that to our listeners. We appreciate that. And
thank you.
It's been just a joy to talk with you today and to have you on the show. And once again, I'm going to go through your book. I'm actually going to do the six-week study myself and see if maybe I can engage a couple of friends to get involved in that too. So,
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. I'd like to encourage you to go to pattysheene.com, that's pattysheene.com, where you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab. At the top of that tab is a link to all the shows we have recorded to date. Under each show is more information about each of our guests, website, social media information as well. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a